Again, if you've been coming to Living Hope for any period of time, any amount of time, you've probably met Jason and Vanessa before. You've certainly heard us say their names various times, pray for them in different situations. They are serving with Youth with a Mission on the island of St. Croix. And there's a little map in your program if you don't really know where St. Croix is. It's not very big on the map, and east of, yeah, that's on. That should be working. Do we have, Wes is going to.
I thought I was loud. Anyway.
No, you need the microphone, trust me, because we need people to hear you. Is the lapel up, Wes? Now try that.
Better? No? Still. Ah, better.
There we go. There you go. So, yes, Jason and Vanessa have been serving there for over 5 years now, right?
Yep.
You're coming up on 6 years,
yep.
Right?
December 2nd will be 6 years. That will
six
be
years.
Our anniversary this year. So.
Okay. So, so they're gonna be sharing a number of things this morning. I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm going to ask you to hold that thing up close to your mouth.
I'll really try.
Do it.
I'll just do it. I'll listen to my pastor. So, awesome. Wow, thank you guys for coming. I know a lot of familiar faces from the congregation, the other people. Hi, I'm Vanessa, if I don't know you. So I have been part of we have been part of the congregation almost 19 years now. So anyway, St. Croix is literally a little dot, south of, eastern south from Puerto Rico. We're very tiny, 27 miles long, maybe close to 35,000 people, maybe, give and take. But this is our location. We work for Youth with a Mission. It's a nonprofit organization, and there are about 195 countries right now. So we are a little ray of sunshine in the middle of just a small island. This is our property. When you come in, this is what you see, but then it's actually much more than that. It's an old sugar plantation from the 1800s. And so that's kind of giving you an overview of our property, but our main focus in St. Croix is training and children's ministry. Jason will go over some of those things later. And children's ministry, our kids are involved, we are involved. We do homeless ministry, and a lot of things happened to us this year. We went through a massive hurricane, Category 5. I think Jason kind of talked about it a little bit last year. Hard year, lots of work, but progress have been done. We started with having in the midst of all the damages, we finally got our bathhouse back on. Yay, bathhouse! So we can run camps. So actually, this was almost halfway completed, and it got completely done this year. Other than that, we were able to run camps, thank God, even with having no roof. We still don't have a roof, but it's coming, February 2019. We're excited. Some of the things that we do there, it's very detrimental for just what we do in the community, meaning children. That is one of our priorities, because if you reach the children, you reach the parents. Teenagers, because if you disciple teenagers, you have strong Christian people working in the marketplace and actually just working anywhere you send them. We have been really working hard on just getting ourselves discipled by God so we can disciple others. It always goes that way. Disciple one so you can disciple the next one, so you can disciple the next one. So what we do, we're an all-year program. So we have our DTS, we have our children's ministry, and then after that, it's mowing, landscaping, cooking, painting, cleaning. So it's pretty cool. It has been great. I'd say more than great, especially this last year, a lot of growth for a lot of us, so we're busy all the time. But I wanted to at least give you a couple of quick pictures, and we're actually on the dining room today. You'll have more other pictures of the island placed on the tables. So go around and look at them. It's a kind of an album if you look at it. So it will be kind of cool. And I'm going to let Jason talk about a little bit of everything, ministry and family.
Morning, everyone. I am overwhelmed to see so many people here just to hear us talk. And when you're in missions, sometimes it can feel like you're kind of left alone. And we have just a great support team around us, but a lot of times it feels where you're by yourself. And so it's really overwhelming to see everyone here this morning. And there's going to be a lot of people at the meal. And so if I don't get to thank you personally for coming, thank you now for being here and supporting us. It means a lot to us. So my job is to answer the question, what do we actually do on day-to-day at YWAM St. Croix when you're in the mission field? And that can look very different. Usually, we have two main focuses. One is, as Vanessa said, we have a big property. We need to take care of the property that God has given us, and we need to make sure the ministry runs smoothly. About 2 years ago, Vanessa and I were put into the leadership position at YWAM St. Croix. And when we went there, 6 years ago, we had no idea that we were going to be the leaders. We went to serve as staff and support what was happening there. Didn't quite know where we were going to fit into the ministry. But about 2 years ago, the Lord moved us into a leadership position, and that's been quite a transition and a journey for us. But as we've become the leaders, our job is to make sure the ministry functions smoothly, and then also to disciple. Vanessa mentioned the word discipleship. Is disciple the young people and the staff that God has put in our care. And when I say young people, they're adults, but they're young compared to us. So they're, you know, about 20 years younger than us. And so they are adults, but the Lord has given us an amazing group of staff. Like I said, about 10 people, along with our own girls that we're raising. And so our job and our focus is discipleship and ministry. And that can look very different depending what day it is. When we wake up in the morning, we kind of give the day to the Lord because you never know what to expect. And I have an interesting story I'll come back to here at the end if I have time about a bomb and how that can just kind of turn your day upside down and you never know what'll happen. So see if I have a few minutes to get back to that. So yeah, that's my teaser, you know, to keep you interested till I get to the end. Our family update, as I said, we've been there 6 years and 2 years of leadership. The big question we're getting asked right now is, when are you coming back? You know, when are you coming back to Pennsylvania? Or how long are you going to be in St. Croix? And so I have the big answer to that. We don't know, is the answer that we can honestly say right now. A few factors play into that. One is our girls. Hannah is a freshman in high school this year. We are homeschooling them, but we feel very strongly that to move her back to Pennsylvania and to move them back to Pennsylvania in the middle of the school or in the middle of high school is just not what the Lord wants for our family right now. They have a great set of friends, Hannah and Sophia. Sophia's in sixth grade, and so they have an incredible set of friends and peers there that they are connecting with. St. Croix is home to them. You know, we still refer to Pennsylvania as home. But we moved there when Sophia was six and Hannah was nine. And so, you know, 6 years at that age is most of your childhood. And so to them, that is home. And so we felt very strongly that we will start asking the Lord once they get through school, we'll start asking the Lord what's next then. So that's not an exact answer, but it is a general idea of what we're looking for. And we know that the Lord will speak to us when the time is right. The other factor is, as leaders, we want to make sure that the ministry is left in good hands. And so one of our goals, again, it falls into that word discipleship that Vanessa mentioned. I would not want to just up and say, hey, we're leaving YWAM St. Croix without another leadership in place. And so our heart is to ask the Lord to bring somebody to YWAM St. Croix that would have a desire to lead and to run the ministry, that we'd be able to work with them for a few years and have a very smooth transition into the next phase of leadership, we could step out and know that the ministry is in good hands. So that could be around the same time as our girls are done with school. It could be longer than that, I don't know, but we're just asking the Lord to make that very obvious when the new leaders are ready and that he's ready to transition us out. Transitions in any organization, in a job, in a church, in missions can be very tricky, and so we just ask the Lord to lead that when his timing is right. So what does YWAM St. Croix do? We do a lot of children's ministry, as Vanessa said, a lot of discipleship. We work with the homeless. We run a discipleship training school every year. We usually run school. It's about 6 months out of the year. Vanessa and I will be leading. We have a school starting in October of next year, about a year from now, and Vanessa and I will be leading that school. We're excited about that. We have not led the school before. We've been a part of it and staffed it and the overall ministry, but we've never led the DTS. So we're looking forward to doing that next year. And we also will be doing some traveling. We have had a opportunity. I pioneered a camp in St. Croix called NECO, and it had never been run in NECO. I'm sure if you've been here before when we shared, you've heard me talk about it, but it's an outdoor survival camp. And we had the opportunity to run one in St. Croix about 4 years ago. We kind of developed it, tailored it to the island, and that has been a big success. Through that, we've been asked to go to different islands to help them run. We've been to Jamaica to help them run a camp. We went to Guyana and helped them pioneer there in Guyana. And we've been invited to go to Barbados this coming year to help pioneer the camp there. So we're planning on that next June. So that's a big part of our ministry. I love anybody that knows me, outdoors, hiking, hunting, and just camping. So it's it comes out of a passion of mine to lead those outreaches. And God has really opened the doors for us to do that. So we'll be doing that. And the other thing that God has given Vanessa and I an opportunity to, let me back up. In the last 2 years, when we were moved into the leadership position at YWAM St. Croix, as I said before, transitions can be difficult, and it wasn't what we were expecting, but we were kind of put in there unexpectedly, and there was some things that we had to deal with afterwards that took some time, some cleanup and some transition details that took some time, and it was about 8 months till we felt we kind of made it through that. Well, not long after that, we ended up with the hurricane, and so that was last September, and so that has been about a year recovery and recovering from the hurricane. So our 2 years of leadership, we have really noticed that we have not been leading, or we have not had the opportunity to lead out of a passion or what God has given us to do, but we've just kind of been cleaning up from maybe a messy transition or a messy hurricane, literally stuff everywhere. And so we're really excited about this next phase for us as we're going to be able to move into a time of leading out some of the desires and the passions that God has given us instead of just reacting to circumstances. And I think if anybody has experience with leadership or has been in leadership, you don't want to just always be reacting to things. You want to be able to move forward. And so we're really excited about this next season for us and for the ministry at St. Croix. We see God opening doors for us to move forward into something that we're passionate about. The main thing that Vanessa and I have a desire for is marketplace ministry. And I worked for many years with my father in business before we went to missions. And I've really seen an opportunity in St. Croix for us to be able to be involved in the marketplace. And our staff and us get opportunities for jobs all the time. And, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, we, you know, hey, we're a missions organization. We're not here to work and be in the community in that way. But we really feel that God is opening the door for us to be able to work in the marketplace. And now, that does not mean we're all going out and getting jobs. Nobody will be paid. But we're going to be starting a program where our staff and us included are looking for about 8 hours a week to get into the community and start working alongside the people in St. Croix, working alongside business owners, and just serving in that different capacity. It gets us outside of our normal ministries. It expands our sphere of influence. It is really, I don't know what it's like exactly around here. I think Lancaster County is really blessed with hard workers and good employees, but that's not the way it is everywhere. And in St. Croix, we see a real need for customer service and people that can be an example of what a good employee is. And so we have an incredible group of staff that God has opened the door to say, let's get in businesses, let's get in the marketplace, let's volunteer and be an example of what a good employee is. And through that, we earn authority in people's lives to share the gospel and to share who God is. It's very hard, and I believe there still is a place for street evangelism, but it's something that we've noticed is really hard in St. Croix, just to walk up to somebody. Everyone's heard about the Lord. Everyone's heard about the gospel. So to walk up and just start sharing the Lord when you have no relationship with that person can be very challenging, especially in the American culture. And St. Croix is part of the United States. And so the Lord has shown us that if we get alongside and I work hard with you and I show you what it is to be a good employee and to be have good customer service and to work hard, that earns so much authority in people's lives. And then the door from there is open to share the gospel with. So we're really excited about God opening doors for this marketplace ministry. I believe the other thing it does is for our staff and us. I have seen in different Christian organizations and in YWAM, be careful how I say this, but people go into ministry, and yes, they learn about the Lord, they learn about evangelism, they study the Bible, but they come out, you know, maybe they're in there 2 or 3 years after high school, and they come out of school or out of YWAM, and they're not equipped to be an employee. You know, they're not equipped. They have all this head knowledge and Bible knowledge, but to actually go into the marketplace, it can be a harsh transition after you've been in this missions bubble, so to speak. And so one of our hearts is, one of our heart's desires as leaders is to say, hey, God has given us to disciple these young people. What better opportunity to put them in the marketplace and then walk through it with them, and they get experience in working, they get experience in missions, they get experience in something maybe that they have a passion for. And so that is really a big thing that Vanessa and I are looking forward to doing in the next couple years, and that God is going to be opening the door for us. Do I have time for the bomb story? Okay. Real quick, I'll keep it short. We had summer camps this year, and we had probably about 60, 70 people on base. We had 30 or 40 campers with staff and counselors, and we woke up one Friday morning. I go downtown in Christiansted every Friday morning to help hand out clothes to the homeless, and so I did my normal thing, went downtown, came back, camp is having breakfast. It's about 8:30 when I got back, and we started noticing a commotion in, we live kind of right in the center of the island, and so there's a lot of businesses. We have a bank, a movie theater, some restaurants, some things right beside us, and we started noticing a lot of commotion there. Police were around, people were saying, calling us, saying, hey, are you guys okay? And we're like, what is going on? Here they found a bomb out in the road just a couple hundred yards from the entrance to our gate, and so this kind of put us in a little bit of a scare. We started sending out emails and calling people and saying, or texting people saying, hey, can you pray for us? They found a bomb close by. We got all these kids here, really not sure what to do. So some police came. Vanessa was in contact with the police. They said, hey, you need to get all the people to a safe place and hide them. So we took them to the furthest building on the property away from where the bomb was, kind of put them in the building. That was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we just waited. And we were asking the Lord, you know, like I said, when I woke up that morning, I had no idea what was going to happen. And so just really asking the Lord what, how to handle this situation. And we heard that they were calling in the FBI from Puerto Rico. Apparently there wasn't enough trained people in St. Croix to handle this kind of situation. So they brought in the FBI from Puerto Rico. They brought in the ATF and just all these government people. They shut down the bank, they shut down all the businesses, they were evacuating the neighborhoods. And this went on for a couple hours, and we're just really unsettled and, you know, trying not to be fearful. But about noon, we got a call. One of the girls in our camp, her father works for the government, and he said, hey, I have an aerial picture of what is going on there. I have a picture of the device that's in the road. Just wanted to send it to you guys. We're praying for you, and you know, I'm sure you'll be all right, but I just wanted to let you know what's, from my perspective, what's going on. And he sent the picture to one of our leadership team's phones, to Vanessa's phone, and we open the picture and start looking at it, and the feeling I got when I saw that picture in my stomach was something I never want to experience again. It was ours. I don't know how else to say it. What happened was we had played a game called Capture the Flag the night before with our campers. And we had some toys that they had used, some props that we had used for the games, and Capture the Flag, or we called it Behind Enemy Lines, where you split them into two teams and they have to find secret files from the other team. They got to capture their base. You know, we had these toy bombs, props, that we had used, and they were supposed to hide them on the other team's side without finding them. Well, the one team obviously won. They hit it so well that it was not recovered by us. It was put under the tire of my truck, and when I went to go help the homeless lighthouse in the morning, it fell off the truck into the middle of the road, and a incredibly concerned citizen saw a cardboard box with two little PVC pipes and duct tape and Sharpie written on it, -1 minute, and some buttons glued on. And he said, "This is a bomb." And so he called the police and they evacuated everyone because no one wanted to go near it and actually find out what it was. So anyway, that is our story. I had to make a very scary phone call to the head of the ATF, and I had to meet personally with him and tell him that was our device that was in the middle of the road. And that's the short version. God used it for his glory. There were some really good things that came out of it. We made some contacts with some police officers and some local pastors and stuff through the situation, that God used it for his glory, but it was pretty scary. I ended up at the police station and was being interviewed, and yeah, it's a long story, but I can share more if you have any more questions. But that's just an example of, you know, when we wake up and we're serving the Lord in the mission field, it's hard to say what we do on a day-to-day basis, but we just never know. So I'll leave a few prayer requests, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Vanessa. She has a word that the Lord gave her, and then we can get to some food. Prayer request. Pray for Vanessa and I. The enemy loves to go after relationships, and we are thankful for where our relationship is at, but we understand that the enemy loves attacking marriages, and he loves attacking leaders and godly leaders. And so, you know, raising a family, having being married, being in leadership position can be challenging, and the enemy wants to do anything he can to attack that. And so we just really ask your prayers for us as a couple and as a family. We ask for wisdom in discipling the young people that God has put in our care, the staff and our children, and just anybody else that we come in contact with in St. Croix. We've asked for prayer in discipling them. And I asked, the other big prayer request for us right now is this marketplace ministry. I don't know a lot about it. You know, what I shared is kind of what the Lord has laid on our heart. We're really just getting started with it, but I believe the Lord has really big things in store for that in St. Croix, and so we're really excited about it. But our prayer is that he would lead us and show us the way to go with that. So that's all I have, Vanessa.
Sorry. Yeah, I normally don't like to bring the word, but this time around I felt like the Lord really challenged me personally. I actually started teaching a lot of children this year, and if people that know me, I love my kids, but I don't like kids. And I said it out loud. I'm very vocal about it. But God has really put in my heart this year that the way I was brought up has a lot that I can give to people, and especially little ones that have gone through probably similar situations the way I grew up. And it has been a challenge, but I feel like you know what? I can do this, you know? The good thing was that I have my daughter this year. I taught in the camp about identity, and she goes, "Mom, that was the best class I took this week." And I was like, "What? I'm your mom? You hate when I homeschool you, but you love that I taught you about identity." She said, "It was awesome." And all the kids were talking about it. So that was an encouragement, because I've been telling the Lord, I want to teach, yes, from what the Word said, but bring it to the children that they understand the word of God in a simple manner. They don't need complications. They need simple. And has been so good to embark on a journey with God to teach children. Because I like it. Look at me. Attention. And it's when they're like, if you know Caribbean children like we do, they are all over the planet. And you're like, dude, sit down. Be quiet. You know, I don't say be quiet, by the way. I say shut up. I'm very vocal about it. So it's like, shut up, sit down, don't move. But even asking the Lord for authority that when I stand there and I look at them, they actually instantly know, whoa, Vanessa's talking, we're just going to pay attention. That takes time of me being involved with God to just say, okay, you know what, I need you, because if these kids need you, I need you so they can need you. So that's the only way I can do it. So it's been fun. So now God challenged me. He's like, hey, I want you to bring the word to the church. I was like, what? No, that's scary. There's a bunch of adults. They're not children. I cannot tell them to shut up and pay attention, you know. So it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, this is a challenge anyway. But a lot of people that have gone through the base through all this time, this is students, mission builders, I make myself known, hey, guys, this is the way it is. And I never do it that they'll feel intimidated, but I guess that's how they take it. But it's been good to just learn from God how to teach people and how to bring the word and just feel like, you know what, a skill that I don't think I have. I'm not a teacher. That's not my nature. But believe that then God can utilize me as a teacher still. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, so I asked the Lord, okay, I want to encourage the church, but I want to challenge the church. That's what I'm good at. I like to challenge people to go to the next level. So this year we went through a hurricane, and has been the hardest thing I have needed to do yet in my life, because I know that when God puts you to a position like that, that means that in another occasion this will come. So what you learn on the crisis, it'll come out later. So God taught me about being resilient. So resilient in the dictionary, it's strong, tough, hardly, flexible. Mind my accent, sorry, pardon me, just ahead. Flexible, durable, strong, sturdy, adjustable. Give, when you have to, you know, you have to apply something and it has to give. And quick to recover. That was the last thing in the dictionary. And I was like, wow, God, you know, seriously, that's how it has been this past year. Just learning, you know, I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has been my book this whole year of really studying what faith is, what, you know, holding on to promises of God. You know, I have Hebrews 10, Hebrews 11, Hebrews 6. If you guys actually go through all that and read all the different things that God talks about faith, that talks about promises, you know, what is, like, promise, what does that mean? Do give, arrange, undertake, a declaration, and assurance. You know, we take this year, for example, hurricane comes. You don't know what you're doing. You're in a blur. You don't know what's happening. And all of a sudden, this thing comes out, and you're like, now what? And then you looked at each other. I mean, I know when Jason and I looked at each other the first night after we just go through all this, we're like, okay, what do we do now? You know, the only thing to do is like, okay, God, you're it. You know, you're it. Because as a human, I could not even commence to think what to do. But I knew that God had made us strong, because we just went through something terrible. We survived. You know, I knew that God made us flexible to withstand time, what needed to do every day. That God made us adjustable. We needed to adjust everything we did. What Jason said, You don't know what day-to-day is going to be. You have to adjust. We think that because we have a normal, you know, people said, oh, well, I just have a normal, that doesn't apply. You know, it doesn't apply when you have a normal job, or it doesn't apply when you have, you go to school, you do all this stuff. To my Christian walk, it doesn't apply, but it applies to everybody, because the Bible is very clear about every day we have to have faith. When we wake up in the morning, we don't know what's going to happen, but we have faith that God is going to be with us and that God is going to stay with us, right? So going through that, I'm going to try to find this quick, but I might not. I'm not quick enough with the phone yet. but even knowing that being adjusting or flexible on major circumstances doesn't apply, like we think it does not apply to regular living. It does. Because if you're actually holding on to God daily, waking up every morning and saying, okay, God, this is your day that you made for me. You guide me. We're good at planning. That's me. I'm a planner. I learn that my plans are not my plans, that I have to wake up every morning and I can have a schedule and maybe get one thing done that day because God directed my day. God put the people that I needed to talk to that day. God put in front of me the things that I needed to do. God put in front of me in an instant. You know, I have had days and I'm going to go do this. And all of a sudden, hey, I need you to go weed whack and I need you to go to mow. I said, okay, I'll go home. I'll go change and I'll go do my thing. And then, oh, by the way, you have to make lunch. Oh, by the way, somebody cut their finger. You go need to fix them up. I mean, you go from A to Z in a half a day and you cannot be stressed out about it. You just know that God said, I made you resilient, to be flexible, to adjust, to just go through all these different things in life. And I said, okay. If people know me, I get a little stressed out every so often. Not all the time. But I do look like a chicken with my head cut up when I'm all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, what's happening? And I don't know what's happening. But when I look at Hebrews and I looked into God talks to us about promises. You go through a hurricane, you forget about any promise God had made you in your life. You forget about any promise anybody told you in your life because you don't know if you're going to be there the next day. But then you're there the next day. Did I fail God because I didn't believe his promises that he was going to take care of me? No, I did not. It's my human nature that comes and kicks in and said, okay, I don't see this God that I believe in. All of a sudden, I'm in a terrible situation, and boom, like, where's my faith go? Where's my promises go? So what do we do with that? Because then when we recover, we're like, oh, we're here. Oh, thank God. But in the moment, we're scared. We have fear. We go to our human nature. That's what we do. We're human, right? That we're still all growing in the Lord. We're still growing in knowing who he is. When you finally kicked in back, after I call it the moment of blur, you say, you know what, God? Wow, thank you. And then you straighten yourself back up, right? And then you do remember the promises. And then you remember that God said, I will take care of you. Don't worry about it. Okay, great. So we go through dry seasons. I call those dry seasons. To me, that was like when you have the moments of blur, they're dry seasons. Because we forget about the water that God gives us daily. But then at one moment, we said, oh my word, water didn't come today. And we become complainers like the Israelites. We're really good at that. And then all of a sudden, you know that the water comes. And you feel refreshed. And you feel like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And we move forward, right? Into the next time that the dry season comes and we forget again about the water. But that does not mean that we stop being effective through those moments of dryness. That the times that we forget God, God doesn't forget about us. And that those times that we are forgetting about God, God still uses us in those moments. And those are the moments that we do know that we're not relying on God, but we're still holding on to God unconsciously because we cannot do it alone. Going through this year knowing that God made us to withstand anything and seeing his promises of giving hope. Of giving hope or lead us to what is expected has been rough. Because as the year have gone, it has been like, wow, you took me from A to Z and dropped me halfway through, and then all of a sudden, how I get back up to the mountain. But he did. He has been, and he always been. To hold on to those promises, not me. When God promises something, we're very good about trying to make those promises happen even before God says it's their time. We're really good at that. So it's knowing that the promises are there, and then it's not in my timing. It's in God's timing. And that I don't have to quickly trying to scramble. Oh, I need to make this happen. Because God will make it happen in his time. You know, people always tell me that I'm strong. That's the word I said. Oh, you're just strong. Oh, you're just strong. You're just strong. You're just strong. And I'm like, but you don't know what goes internally. I'm strong because God makes me strong. But internally, it's a battle. It's a battle when you feel insecure. And it's a battle when you feel like you don't meet up somebody else's expectations. It's a battle. But do I'm strong? It's because God said I'm strong. Not because of what you see out in the outer of me, because what you guys see in it's God that make it happen. Because in my own words, I said, I'm not a strong person. I'm not as strong as you think I am. You just see, it's almost the outer shell of, you know, this is what God made, not Vanessa made. I'm sorry, I hate these things because I don't know how to use them. This is horrible. I'm so old. I always make that comment. Sorry, guys, but our staff is 20 years younger than us. So you do feel, I'm actually the older person in the base, and I'm 44. And that makes you feel really like, wow, I'm the oldest person here. That just makes you feel horrible. But anyway, you know, I always have held on to certain things that the Lord, in the timing that he gives them to me. But here says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have needed of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So when I see this and I see, you know, God saying, hey, you guys are resilient. You know, I have promised you guys this stuff. I made you this way. You know, I gave you promises. I do all this stuff. And all of a sudden you're like, you know what, God? Thank you that I can trust in his word, knowing that he have given me the confidence. And, you know, when I talk about this stuff, I get passionate for the only reason that people always make comments to us. Oh, but you're in the mission field. You go through all that because you're in the mission field. And I'm like, well, even if you're home, that is supposed to be your mission field, you should be able to go through that. And if you're not going through that stuff, then you better ask the Lord why you're not going through that stuff. Because then something is out of whack. Something is out of order. Because we should be able to have things happening to us and still hold on to the promises of God, whether you are in the missions or whether you are home. And on that, then, okay, what's happening? Where am I with God? I check my spirit every day. I have to. Just because I'm in mission doesn't mean I'm super spiritual and I'm like all this high, mighty, whatever. Because to me, I'm just a child of God that God made a call to, and I just say yes, and I'm just going to go through things just like everybody else. I struggle every day. I sometimes have a potty mouth. I will pray for that. But it's confession. It's literally, I know what my man's shortcomings are, but that doesn't mean that God cannot still use me. And if we are supposed to be God's disciples and God's children being able to reach their children, then we should be able to go through all this and know that in confidence, God have given us the victory. That we know at the end of the tunnel, we are going to see the light. And that in all that, God will make us quick to recover. We go through a crisis, God will give us the exit. That we go through any type of, you know, dismay, issues, anything, God will make a way to just make it happen. And we have to allow God to fulfill his promises and not us trying to fulfill God's promises. That's what we need to do. And that was one of the things that I tell the Lord, Lord, that's just a harsh thing to do, because we hear God said, well, I promise that I'm going to give you this, and then you work for it so hard, so you make it happen. But then we forget that God in the process. And we have to allow God to fulfill his promises in his timing, in everything that he had determined to do for our lives, because he made us resilient. That has been my favorite word this year, has been resilient. God made me resilient, and I want to hold on to that. That I don't have to be just strong just because people said so. It's because God said I'm strong. Because God said, I put you through the fire, but I will take you out of the fire. And, you know, when we go through everything that talks in Hebrews about faith, waiting, promises, that has been our life this year. And we are on the other side because we decided to say, you know what, God? You're in charge. I'm not in charge. I'm not going to make it happen. You're going to make it happen. Even through exposing things, the seasons, everything, God is in control all the way through, all the way through. And I want to challenge you guys to, just because you're not out in missions, it should not be a reason not to go through the processes with God and then hide behind, well, it doesn't apply to me. I don't have to go through that. It doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody. We talked a lot about, you know, with our staff, you know, they always say, Vanessa, you're so tough. I say, you know why I'm tough? Because I realize in my life, if I want to be a discipler, I have to be a disciple first. Do you know what a disciple is? Being broken, know your junk, get rid of your junk so God can fill up, so you actually can go and then deal with everybody else. And then you deal with their junk, and they have to deal with their junk, but then they end up being the next and the next. But we start with us. And being, for me, knowing that this year was a tough year of allowing God to say, you know what? It's you, not me. So been in missions almost, 6 years? And this year was say, you know what, God? I'm done. It's you, not me. I'm not doing it anymore the way I want to do it. It has to be your way. So that was one of the challenges this year, that understanding that I needed to humble myself and allow God to just be God and not me controlling who God is, not even in my life. So that has been good. But anyway, it was just a challenge that I wanted to bring you guys, that you guys are made resilient, that you can withstand all your difficulties and all your things, but you have to allow God to be the front seat driver and not the side driver. So anyway, that's it. So do you want me to give instructions?
Yes. Just 1 second. You probably figured out by now, but we have a meal in the gym, which is around that way. I know some of you are here for that. You're aware of that. If you weren't aware of that, you're able to stick around. It's going to be amazing. Vanessa is a great cook, and she's whipped up a meal. It is a fundraiser meal, so yeah, we invite you to be generous as you are able to bless Jason and Vanessa. All the money goes to them. So yes, give us the instructions. Join us, Jason. I want to pray for you guys quickly, yeah. Then, yeah. And then you, I know you want to get over there. So. What are the instructions?
You're coming in through the, is the back door, front door? How you guys call it? To go to the gym.
Just go around. Yeah, go around through the children's wing.
We actually will be serving, it's a big table. But you come in and there will be like the donation table will be right at the door. So we are not having people at the end of the meal trying to like withhold the line. So we're going to start serving the meal and then you guys will just come through the table and then there's tables and everything. I actually did my Puerto Rican pork that is similar to what people call lechon. So if you know what that is, it's actually really good. I'm pretty proud of it, actually.
I don't doubt it.
I'm pretty proud of it.
I've eaten your cooking before. I'm not worried at all.
So anyway, but we would love if you guys can join us. This is, you know, yes, it is a fundraiser, but it's a time that we'll be able to just trying to see all each other's faces and trying to get reacquainted and, yeah, just to be a blessing to you guys. So.
All right. I want to pray for you guys. Father, as I reflect on Jason's specific prayer requests, God, and he said that they are aware of the attack of the enemy on them as individuals, as leaders, and certainly on their marriage relationship. God, we pray that you would strengthen them to the core of their inner being, God, that from inside of them, your love for them and the power that you give them will just cause them to not only survive times like this, but to thrive, to get stronger. Thank you for the way you've used them, God. And then specifically, you also said about this desire they have for a little different approach to some of their ministries, and that is in the marketplace, where rather than going in as someone with a message, at least not from the beginning, but going in as someone who's just going to work alongside of. And God, I pray you just open that door to them, give them wisdom, help them to know what that looks like on St. Croix and how you want to use them in that. So bless them, God, bless them. Make them even more resilient than they are right now. We know you'll use them in mighty ways. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I know you want to run. You can go too if you need to. I was just going to make one observation about the bomb thing. We were part of the group that got that initial email about, hey, there's this bomb. We don't know what's going on. Pray for us. And then we also learned as the next number of hours and maybe day or two went on what the whole story was. And Molly and I looked at each other and we said, a day will come when we will be able to laugh about this. But it wasn't laughing time then. There was no laughing whatsoever. But we said, a day will come. It felt good to enjoy that day today, to be able to laugh, you know, where we see that. Yeah. There you go. Whoops, hold on. Now one more time. There you go.
Yeah, it's definitely at a place where we can laugh about it now. But it was, there was a point where I thought I may end up in jail. And it was pretty intense at one point. But
yeah, I know.
Definitely laugh about it now.
It's pretty rough going there for a couple of days. So anyway, thanks for joining us this morning. If you just happened to be visiting this morning, I'm glad you could be here this morning. I hope you can stay for the meal. So we're just going to dismiss you. I'm going to pray a blessing on the meal now. And then we're going to dismiss you. You can head on over if you're staying for the meal. I hope you can. Father, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the hard work that Jason and Vanessa and others that have helped them have put into it. We ask your blessing on it and also on our fellowship as we gather there. So, yes, God, thank you that we can be resilient through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, it's only by you that we can actually survive the stuff of life and not only survive but learn and grow through them. So, I pray you would speak that word of encouragement to everyone here this morning, no matter what the hurricane is they're walking through right now, God, that they know that you are faithful, and even when it seems mighty dark, that you are right there and you're working out your plans. So we just give you thanks for that. You're a faithful God. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. So thanks so much for joining us.